Jesus? Why did he come? What does that mean for me? In a prison environment, that the change of narrative that the good news of Jesus brings into that scenario is profound and deep.
Hello and welcome to the Word in Action podcast from Bible League International. I'm your host, Michael Woolworth. I was in prison and you visited me. The words of Jesus in Matthew 25. My guest today, Andy Corley, President and CEO of Prison Fellowship International, says that his organization actually follows Jesus into the prison environment and meets him there. Andy is joined by his counterpart, Yo Snoo, President and CEO of Bible League International, to talk about the very special partnership between these two ministries that celebrates 10 years in 2024. You'll love what these two have to say and the experiences they'll share on the Word in Action podcast. Well, no doubt, listeners, you've heard of the incredible ministry of Prison Fellowship International, whose vision, I quote, is to break the cycle of crime and restore lives worldwide through Jesus' love. And then likewise, Bible League International cares passionately about those that have faced imprisonment, also their families. And so on that premise, PFI and BLI joined forces about 10 years ago. Andy, what discussions or circumstances led to this relationship a decade ago?
Well, I think it was largely out of us having a growing sense of who we were as a global family. PFI is in 123 countries around the world. And after a while of considering and building on the foundations of those that had gone before us, it was time for us to think differently about the global family being a massive distribution network of good things, kingdom things, into the prisons of the world. And it was at that point that it became very obvious that partners like BLI were going to be super important to us going forward, and especially when they shared our mission and vision as well, and a determination to serve those groups that we're passionate about.
Yeah, Yost, think back 10 years. What led to Bible League to look to Prison Fellowship International to join forces?
Yeah, you know, in kingdom work, you are, per definition, too small to deal with it all. And so it's just really a wonderful thing to come together. There's a little bit of a personal note as well. I used to work for Prison Fellowship back in the Netherlands. Oh. Mm-hmm. And so I knew Prison Fellowship very well and have a great respect for them. And I think 10, 11, you know, 12 years ago, around that time frame, Prison Fellowship was also looking for Bibles, you know, for God's Word, and using that in their ministry. And we were a provider of that. And so I think out of that came more of a desire of, hey, are we just providing Bibles here? Or are we actually trying to impact lives, transform lives through the Word of God in the settings where we both serve? And so I think out of a simple relationship of providing materials, providing Bibles, came this desire to really look at who are we really serving here together, and can we improve that service towards those in prison all together? And that's really how it grew.
Well, Andy, before we get too deep into that fruitful partnership, tell us some of the highlights of PFI's ministry over the last few years. Tell us, you know, where you serve, who you serve, maybe in a general way, the numbers that you serve, how you serve those whom God has placed in your care.
Well, no apologies for the corporate speak here, but I'm just going to quote you our mission statement, which is to transform the lives of prisoners, their families, and victims through a global network of ministry partners. That's what PFI exists to do within the 123 countries that we have a presence in through our independent and indigenous national ministries. So therein lies, I think, the kind of outcomes that we're seeking. We're passionate about the transformation of lives at an individual level, every single one of these people being created in the image of God, worthy of his love and our service and respect, but also looking through our national ministry partners, we're looking for outcomes in terms of their organizational development as well. So both of those things are really, really important to us, the number of men and women that we're serving, and also qualitative improvements and quantitative improvements in the capacity of our national ministries, which, of course, makes us more sustainable as a global family for the future.
Yeah, Jos, I know our listeners will recognize Project Philip. That's really the cornerstone of our global ministry, right? We take people from a casual curiosity about Jesus to being captured by Christ, right? And our two ministries developed a very special evangelistic and discipleship program that caters this population that Prison Fellowship and Bible League is jointly serving. And we've been able to engage thousands and thousands all over the world. Give us some of the specifics of this Prison Project Philip, and then what are some of the key accomplishments that our two ministries have seen together?
Yeah, so, you know, I always love connecting, you know, with one another. And even now, as we, you know, gathering together for this podcast, you learn things, you hear things in a new light. And so even Andy talking about breaking the cycle and for families and inmates through the Word of God, through a network, it's refreshing to hear that again every time. And I think it goes back to if you do research in history on the church and on where new faith starts, where there are revivals, it's always the Word of God that is the basis of that. You know, and you read that in Acts all over the place. You know, they were coming together on a daily basis to study the Word of God, and they were sharing everything together. It's always the Word of God that is the start of breaking that cycle of crime, the cycle of sin, the cycle of whatever is going on in people's lives. And that is really what our Project Philip, what our journey with the inmates does, but what we do as Bible League overall. It's to help people to go into the Word, to engage with the Word, but to not do it alone, to have somebody alongside that helps them to understand it. So, you know, we call it the prisoner's journey. It truly is a journey. It's a path where people come and they are invited into a relationship. This is a network of people that have a heart for the gospel, that have a deep love and heart for people that are in prison. They are the ones that walk alongside and that then are invited into this relationship in which they can open the Word of God, and so that the Word of God can transform and break those cycles. And we've seen that over and over again. And, you know, on an annual basis in Bible League, we do that with about 3 million people. And through this wonderful partnership, we've seen already, I think, already 500,000 people being reached in this way. So praise God.
Yeah, Michael, if I could add to that, one of the genesis of the partnership between ourselves and BLI was also the kind of natural outworking of another partnership that we have with an organization called Christianity Explored, which resulted in the program that Jos spoke about, The Prisoner's Journey, a self-discovery course answering three questions. Who is Jesus? Why did he come? What does that mean for me? And that is it turns out that in a prison environment, that the change of narrative that the good news of Jesus brings into that scenario is profound and deep. And of course, what we were finding that we had amazing, by the grace of God, amazing success to that program. And we've graduated that 8-week course. We've graduated from that course about 800,000 men and women. Now, off the back of that, we had a very consistent discipleship take-up, which was around 70% of those men and women who graduated the Prisoner's Journey wanted further discipleship programming. And that was where we then began to talk to our friends at BLI. We began to talk to them about scripture in heart language in the first instance. But then as we got deeper into understanding what each other was doing, and we became aware of Prison Project Philip, it became a natural follow-on in terms of discipleship programming to the Prisoner's Journey. So there was something of a real continuum here that we have been very privileged as both organizations to sit at the heart of a huge opportunity that has been grasped and a need fulfilled by combining our efforts together. And I can't speak highly enough of BLI. The Bible talks very specifically, and we try to make this real between myself and Jos and our amazing executive teams who do so much of the most of the hard work. Jost and I just get to appear on the podcast, right? But they do all of the heavy lifting. The important thing was to identify what it was that we could do better together in unity, because God says that he will bless that. And unity's got a very, first of all, you've got to want that. And as Jost so rightly said right at the outset, that there is, that when it comes to collaborating together, a fundamental is that we can't do this on our own. So you've got to want it. But secondly, it very often has some hard edges to it in understanding what each other's role in that is, and then putting the other first in a certain kind of way and wanting the other to succeed. And I think we've just been very privileged to be, we feel very privileged at PFI to be working in partnership with our friends at BLI. And it is a genuine friendship, but a friendship of respect and fun and laughter and lots and lots of good things, as well as some really hard nuts and bolts.
Yeah, it's a, this is actually really exciting to do this with you, Michael. It's almost a celebration of memory again, and just thinking back these 10 years. But what popped out to me as Andy was talking was when we were having those conversations 10 years ago, the question that really, I think, drove us to this partnership was, what is the prisoner experiencing from our collaboration? So it was truly, you know, not looking at how can Bible get be better coming better out of this, or how can PFI coming better out of this, you know, maybe in terms of our publicity to the outside or strengthening our own organizations. The central question was really, you know, we both have been blessed with resources that the Lord has given us for his purposes. Now then the question should be, how do we bless the prisoner to be able to go through a journey and with the vision to break that cycle of crime, you know, and to transform lives? And I'm just amazed that that question is still at the center of our partnership today. And that's the result of incredible hard work of a lot of our teams.
Yeah, I love what you're both saying about this relationship. Jost, I'll keep it with you. You know, a big part of, you know, of course, both of these ministries, we're all about engagement, right? And a big part of this partnership entails Bible League furnishing Bibles and study materials. I know we're on track, you know, overall in our 86-year-old ministry, soon to give out our, what, 1 billionth printed, you know, Bible or printed resource. And we praise God for that. It takes more than just an idea. It takes a plan and the blessing of the Lord to reach the numbers of people that have been reached over the years. But Jost, talk about that plan and what we've seen so far from furnishing Bibles and other materials to this relationship.
Yeah, I think that's a strength of both organizations, actually. The planning, the strategic thinking, you know, we don't consider plans and numbers and goals as dirty. we definitely submit all of those to the will of God. And we realize that we're totally dependent on him in this journey. But that doesn't cut us loose from having to think strategically about how we operate. And I think the plans and the and just the deliberate conversations about that between the teams have really been helpful to reach a level of efficiency. And, you know, as I can only speak for Bible League, but I believe we've had that culture for 86 years. You know, not just the heart to reach the lost for Christ, but also to do it in a way that is integer towards those that provide the resources. And so on an annual basis, we come together, our teams come together and evaluate that. And they look at how do we go into the next year, and what do we need to change, and what does work and what doesn't work. And so based on that, we develop our material, we choose our languages, and we put our teams at work. And they start, you know, they start rolling out those new materials. We are currently working on Ukrainian, on Bulgarian, on a few other languages that we are ready to roll out in the next couple of years. That target setting is part of the, you know, part of the meat of this partnership, is to really know from each other what we're doing. So on our way to the 1.6 million prisoners, we are doing all that detailed work to make it work. Our role as Bible League in that is to provide that resource, to make sure that we have it available, to make sure it's typeset, to make sure it's going into our logistical channels so that those that need it can receive it on time.
Yeah, that's good, Jos. Andy, there's a misunderstanding, at least to people kind of looking in to a relationship like this. There's this misunderstanding that men and women with criminal records are, I don't know, shiftless, right? Unable to turn their lives around for the better. As two ministries, we know that's false, because these are the women and men, those precious souls that our ministries have the privilege of serving. Andy, what have you personally witnessed over the years regarding people who have offended and yet have gone on to see their lives and their families, even their victims, impacted by God? Talk about that.
Yeah, I've lost count of the number of men and women that I have met who've turned their lives around, or had their lives turned around, is a better way of describing it.
Yeah.
We have national ministry leaders who were formerly in prison. You know, the founder of both Prison Fellowship in the United States and Prison Fellowship International himself spent time in prison. When you begin to think of the number of men and women in our scriptures who spent time in prison, you begin to look at prison in a slightly different way. That would be number one. Number two is that our prisons are full of people. Yes, we have to have a functioning restorative prison system. That's really, really necessary. It's part and parcel of having a safe society. But we fall into a grave mistake of thinking that everybody in there is irredeemable. Everybody in there is intrinsically bad. From a scriptural perspective, it's really important for us all to understand, I think, that every single person on this planet is either in a physical prison, or we've all got prisons of our own, right? And Jesus came to set us free from that. Now, I completely accept that there are physical prisons, that is the environment that we are called into, but our gospel, the good news, is about grace, which is undeserved favor. It's about every single person on this planet bearing the image of God. So even when our prisons are full of people who we consider are bad, that is very rarely the case. There are also many, many people in prison who simply have really sad stories. So that is a very important aspect for us to think about. You can be in prison for a whole load of different reasons. In certain countries around the world, you can be awaiting trial for up to 10 years. You're not always in prison because you've committed some kind of heinous act. But even if you were, the gospel is a gospel of no man or woman left behind. And so, therefore, it's a really important thing that we are doing together here, which is proclaiming that good news, a good news full of grace to people who are valued, loved by God. We have to do it. It's an imperative. It's a biblical imperative.
Yeah, as you say, you have lost count of the number of men and women who have turned their lives around. Or as you say, you know, God had a different plan. He turned their lives around, right? You've certainly heard many, many stories of incredible transformation. Can you tell us one? Make it personal.
Absolutely, I'll make it personal, which means that I can't read the story that I was given off the piece of paper in front of me. So I'm going to make it personal. Kenya, 4 years ago. I had moved down a line of men and women who had graduated the prisoner's journey, and I was giving them a certificate. And then other members of our board were giving the men in this particular prison a copy of the prisoner's Bible. And I reached a particular young man. I tried to spend as much time as I can so that all of these graduates understand that, you know, I'm not kind of some visiting dignitary who's there to, you know, pass on really quickly and get a photo op, but want to spend some meaningful time with each person. And as I drew past this particular young man, he pulled me in close and he said, "I want you to know this program has really changed my life." And I spoke with him and we conversed. It had been a great time with the guys in the prison yard. We bantered, as I often do when I'm in the prisons of the world. Everybody's got a favorite soccer team, right? Everybody's got a favorite Premiership soccer team. And one guy had stood up and ripped off his shirt to show a Manchester United tattoo. So it was like 35 degrees. It was just a very typical African environment. He pulled me in close. I had a conversation with him, and then I moved on. And that clearly wasn't enough for him. He pulled me back and he looked me straight in my eyes and he said, "No, I want you to know this has made a real difference in my life." And I said, "Oh, I'm so glad. I'm really glad." And I can't remember exactly what I said, but felt that after the second time, I'd given him enough of a period of to know that I appreciated what he was saying. So tried to move on once again. And then for the last time, he pulled me back and he just looked straight at me and said, "It's changed my life." And I kind of didn't know what to say because it was very clear that this guy needed me to know that his life was different. Now, I didn't even catch his name, but I remember him looking into my eyes and the intensity of him communicating what he needed to communicate. Now, I could give you other stories of people with names. I could tell you about Bernard in Zambia, or I could tell you about Emir, who, was deeply skeptical and then kind of found, as he was immersed in scriptures on a continual basis, his heart softened, and then he surprised. He was really disruptive in the class. And then finally, he, at the end of the prisoner's journey, said, "I'd love a Bible. I'd love a Bible." Surprised everybody. So I've got men and women in my head, faces that I can see, names that I can quote. But the one that I often go back to is this guy who just kind of physically pulled me back three times to make sure I understood how important this had been for him. And every single one of those stories is kind of etched on my mind and propels me and propels Yos as, respective leaders of our organizations. That's what we work for, right? It's a privilege to do it.
Well, I love that story. I love that. Thank you, Andy. And Yos, I know you've personally seen stories of incredible transformation through Bible League's ministry to those in prison around the world. Tell us one, please.
Yeah, this is what keeps us going, indeed. I'm always just really humbled. I've had the privilege of being in prisons in several countries around the world. One of my most recent experiences was in South Africa, going in a maximum security prison. We were invited to be there. Even the prison administration is very friendly to the presence of Christian ministry in that prison because they have seen the change in behavior, not just in individuals, but in the community of inmates in that prison. It's made it easier for them to manage the prison. That's what we heard, and we met with the leadership there, and that's what they expressed to us. So that was a great privilege. But what really stood out to me is that we went to have a church service with them and prayer time, and the whole service and all the preaching and all the praying and all the sharing was done by the inmates, and they weren't putting up a show. This was real, authentic Christian living, and for me that was expressed in something really special at the end, where they were reminding themselves that they are put there in that prison on behalf of Christ to be Christ for others. But then they turned their attention to us and they said, "The Lord has put you in the spot where you are. We are performing the Great Commission here in this prison. You guys are our brothers, so now we want to pray for you because our heart is for missions." And so here you are, like a clean-cut guy, never been in prison myself, had a pretty calm life compared to a lot of those guys, and thinking that thinking you're on the front line of ministry, and you just realize, wow, these guys are on the front lines of ministry, and they get it. They've been discipled to a deep understanding of what God is doing in this world, and they laid their hands on us. So, yeah, just an awesome experience, and it's an experience that unites you with people that maybe naturally you feel a little appalled to. But what the Lord was doing there, he just said, you guys are all the same, and I'm calling you for my ministry.
Jos and Andy, I love those stories. I wish we had time for 10 more from each of you. Brothers, you lead two incredible ministries that God has been pleased to bless with, people, plans, processes, results, and being able to reach precious souls. I know you give him the glory for all of that, but how do you two keep yourselves grounded in the Word, connected to your people, and to those whom you serve? Andy, I'll start with you.
Well, I do have a daily routine that kind of keeps me very grounded, and I have a home community of folk that I trust and good friends who are very encouraging. So I try to keep myself, immersed in God's word and just using it in continuing to keep grounded in that. I meet with Jos and other brothers as well. I mean, our friendship goes beyond just being at the head of two organizations that are in partnership together. We meet on a bi-monthly basis and for half an hour, and we spend about 15 minutes of it laughing. And Jos telling me stories about Noah, his daughter, which I absolutely love. So we have a genuine friendship. We've made some promises to each other around how we'll deal with each other, but it's a relationship of encouragement as well. I'm very privileged in having other brothers like Jos who are alongside me in that journey. And then lastly, I think that, being in a ministry like PFI just has its own dividend. It's a privilege to be doing what we're doing, and especially when I get into prison and see those who we're serving. Jesus said something amazing. He said, "When I was in prison, you came to me." And I often say we don't take Jesus into the prisons; we follow him in and we meet him there. And it kind of, in one sense, that may sound very weird to somebody who's never been in a prison, but it's been my experience and privilege to have that in my life, and I'm grateful to God that I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm grateful that we have some amazing people at PFI who allow me to lead them, but that has its own kind of grounding and encouraging impact when you see that the Word of God is living and active in people's lives.
Yeah, I love that. Jos?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly embrace that, and for me personally, it's also the daily routine in scripture. That's where it all started. That's where it needs to be rooted. That's where it's going to. It's the relationship that we have with our God, with Jesus, and that has really blessed with a lot of good people around me too, and colleagues like Andy, but also within Bible League. It's always good to go back to a family that, just sees you as a dad and a husband, in all your mistakes and weakness that you have, keeps you grounded, because, leading a ministry, it you're not we're not special super people. We're just servants of Christ, and we have our families, we have our churches, we have our issues and problems like everybody else does. The Lord calls people together, and he calls them with different skills and talents, but he uses them all equally. And I think it's important for us to stay rooted in that principle, that the kingdom is a kingdom of many and not just of a few leaders. So I love that our relationship is rooted in prayer, and that we are committed to, whenever something happens, we're committed to openness to each other, and transparency and not leaving things under stones, but just to express them clearly and openly with each other so that the Lord can work in those situations. So it's been an absolute blessing to be working in that way.
I love that. Okay, and then the more important question, who is rooting for the better soccer team? Guys, who comes out on top there?
Well, you want to start about national teams. I am certainly rooting for the better one. But I'll let Andy say something too.
Well, I'm going to elevate it a little bit and say we have living proof here that the European Union is not dead. Because when a Brit and a Dutchman are in such close friendship, I mean, what could possibly be better than that? Soccer will never divide us. Rugby, now, well, that might be a different kettle of fish.
I don't even understand the game rules for that game, Andy.
Maybe next time we'll do less stories about Noah and we'll do a 15-minute tutorial on the basics of rugby. That would be good,
Perfect. That sounds like a plan.
Very nice. All right. Well, brothers, as we end our podcast, let's certainly thank God for these first 10 years together. What's the next 10 years look like, and how can we pray?
Yeah, I really appreciate so much, our supporters and the brothers and sisters that give to this work, and pray for us, pray for the unity between these organizations, because if when where Christians work together, where they form unity, the enemy does not like it, and we really need to be protected by the community of Christians and the prayer that surrounds us. So pray for that continued unity, that continued relationship between the two organizations, because we can talk about goals being bigger or being smaller, but it all starts with that unity amongst us and that focus on the inmate, on those that we serve. So that is, I think, the key for success.
Yeah, for me, I agree with Jost completely. And for me, I think the amazing thing about the Word of God is that it has relevance and applicability for every generation. And I fail to believe that the challenges, we have some really, really interesting challenges at the moment. I'm certainly not saying anything different to that, but worldview works its way out in ideas, which works its way out in culture, which works its way out in politics. And I think when it comes to worldview, there's no more radical vision given to us than the Word of God around what God has done to place us back in transforming relationship with Himself. And also the principles on which our lives and our world run so much better. So I think the key then is if we know that we have something so important, and I know that this is shared by Jost completely, that we know that the Word of God is so transformational, then it's about working in partnership and being open to the other and seeing what can be accomplished, not kind of being perfectly prepared for a future that doesn't exist any longer, but actually thinking about the creative possibilities of the future together. I think we are. I get excited about that. I get excited about the possibilities, and I know that's always made a lot easier when you're in a relationship of mutual trust and encouragement, and just believing, going right back to what Yo said at the outset, that we serve a God who has a plan for our planet, but more than that, that none of us have the solutions in our own right and on our own, that we need each other. To me, Yo started it off. I can't believe that, Yo, that you nailed it right from the outset, brother. And we're going back to that. But well done. Right from the start, you said what needed to be heard.
Thanks, Andy. I want to add to that, Michael, and
Please.
also to our listeners. I think I just talked about, goals and whether they're high or low. We are very much excited about the goals and about the plans that lay ahead of us. But again, it's not just a partnership between the two organizations. It's a partnership with everybody involved, including our listeners, including the people that support this wonderful work. And it is our role to just voice what we learn and what we hear, from our networks. And I think Andy agrees with me on this one. We can pour a lot more of the Word of God into this network that we are doing than that we are doing today. And that's both an humbling as well as an exciting, piece of this collaboration. But it's what a wonderful position to be in together, that we see a network that craves that once more of the Word of God. And all I can do and all we can do is just to say to our listeners, we invite you to continue to be a part of that. And we thank you for the wonderful contribution that you've done to this as well.
And maybe from myself through Yost, saying thank you to BLI's patrons and donors for blessing us. There's a downstream effect here, which is really, really appreciated all the way down to those on the front lines that we're serving in the prisons of the world, their families, victims. We are deeply grateful. Thank you.
Well, and guys, it's been a great joy to gather for a few moments and really to hear from the hearts of this organization's fearless leaders, if you will. I mean, you've really given us a gift in that. If you'll bring Yost up to speed on what rugby's all about, that will be I think that will help everybody. But yeah, this has been a great joy, and really, to those listening today, we can now pray with a greater specificity about what God is doing through Bible League International and Prison Fellowship International. Can I put one of you on the spot to pray for this partnership as we end this wonderful podcast today?
Absolutely. I would be more than willing. Thanks, Andy, for allowing me to do that. Father God, we thank you so much for this wonderful ministry that you have given us. Lord, it is you who we are serving here. It is you who we are following here. Lord, it is like my brother Andy said earlier, we are not bringing Jesus into the prisons. Lord, you are already there. And you ask us to be obedient to your mission and to serving those that are inmates and that are in the prison systems of the world. So, Lord, we thank you for this higher calling of bringing your word into the prison, Lord, and helping to equip and to resource your church in the prison systems in the world. Lord, we continue to pray that your word will work mightily, both in quantity as well as in quality. Lord, that more prisoners will become Jesus followers, Lord, that they become disciples of your word, that they become servants of you in the places where you have positioned them, Lord, and that it might be multiplying and might be a blessing to the communities that they are serving. Father, I celebrate, I thank you for the partnership that we've had with one another, Prison Fellowship International and Bible League International. But I also want to include all the listeners, all the donors, all those that have provided resource and knowledge into this partnership, Lord, that you've brought this body together, this community together, to serve these prisoners. And we celebrate that after 10 years. Lord, we also lift it up for the next decade and for the next season, Lord, that you continue to bless us, to continue to give us wisdom, to continue to guide us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, throughout our networks, so that we can reach more people for Christ and with your word throughout the prison systems in this world. Lord, we commit ourselves to you in humility, Lord. We want to follow you in everything that we do, that we say, that we think, and how we act. And how we minister and serve you throughout all of this. So, Lord, we lift this up, we lift up our teams and everybody involved, and we do that all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joost Noop of Bible League International and Andy Corley of Prison Fellowship International, who each serves as president and CEO of their respective organizations. It's been a great joy to pull you two together today and to hear you speak from the heart about this precious partnership that brings glory to God and transformation to the lives of those in prison and their families. And may God be pleased to add His blessing for the next 10 years. Friends, thank you for listening and for supporting Bible League with your prayers and financial gifts. Will you follow Bible League on social media? You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube. And you can sign up for our e-newsletter and Verse of the Day and learn more about becoming a monthly sower at BibleLeague.org. That's BibleLeague.org. And let us know how today's program impacted you. Email us at podcast@BibleLeague.org. I'm Michael Woolworth for the Word in Action podcast.